I am Stephen James Peterson, and this is the Raven Rising Podcast. So here we are at part two of the investigative series, and why this is an important issue to me is something that we're going to cover in this issue, and we're going to get into other things. I mean, obviously, this is going to go all over the place, but bear with me. I want you to pay attention to this next clip. This describes why this is important. Because I want you to hear about the impact of when they're able to get access to the proper strength cannabis tincture, or cannabis oil, whatever you want to call it here in the state of North Dakota, that when they're able to get access to that for this one child, that they're able to see marked differences, that they get reports from the teachers and from the therapists about how well this child does when they're able to dose him properly with the 3.8 strength oil. Now, bear with us as obviously, you know, this mom took time out of her day to do this interview. And some of her children are not school age, so you're going to hear some banging and footsteps in the background. Bear with me, because it's not about the background noise, people. It's about what's said. And I want you to hear this from her, because then you'll start to understand why this is so important and why being able to continue being able to have proper access to the proper products to be able to help with this child is so important. So let's begin. We're going to start with the impact on this child, this autistic child.
Or is that getting into too much detail?
Let's not go down that road.
Okay.
So what I want to touch on real quick here is, can you let's put a break in there. You want to run up and see what's going on up there?
Oh, it's just a plate.
Okay. All right. So again, can you tell us what Ronnie's like when he's not able to have the tincture compared to what he's like when he gets the tincture? And, you know, just give us a couple of real short examples, because I know you've been dealing with this for a long time, and would also like to hear what types of benefits that you've been able to experience so far now that you have access to the product. So if you give me a couple of short examples about what it's like when he doesn't have it, what it's like when he does have it.
Okay. After we got going on cannabis for Ronnie, he's 9 years old. He's severely autistic. He really cannot speak, and he can be very, very aggressive. And it was like night and day. Once we got the proper dosage of THC on him, he was much calmer, much easier to deal with at school. He does 3 different kinds of therapy. Every one of the therapists, you know, noticed that he was much more manageable and got more out of his day. And the big thing is he did not attack me. You know, Ronnie really, within the last year, has started attacking me. If he's ever in a car and has the ability to open the door, he will, like when he's real angry, like when he's having dental pain and stuff, he will try to jump out of a moving car if given access. And he does not do that when he has the proper amounts of cannabis in him.
So it's a night and day difference.
Absolutely. And we are, two times we have been in a situation where his tolerance was getting too high, and we did end up doing a 48-hour reboot. And in those situations, when he has to be off of that cannabis for 48 hours, we have to have my husband take all the kids out of the house, and I just have to deal with him for 48 hours because he is so aggressive when he's off of it.
Okay, and now you were telling me about another family that they've got a kid who has autism and that they've also been dealing with it for a long time. They were at the point of possibly doing a voluntary commitment of the child to Grafton. Now, they were able to get into the program. and get some of the 38.5 milligram tincture, and that they actually noticed some changes there that had them reconsidering making their child a ward of the state, cost of the state. And can you tell me just a little bit about that real quick without, you know, obviously we're not going to disclose who they are, but tell me at least a little bit about what they were dealing with before and shortly also what it looks like now that they were able to get product, and let that kind of sink in on everyone, because after they run out of their tincture, they're going right back to where they came from. So give me some details there if you could shortly.
That child in particular was so self-injurious that the family really feared, they were kind of in the beginning stages of you know, putting him somewhere else, not being able to keep him at home. But upon, you know, almost immediately within that first week of getting a hold of that 38.5 tincture, he became, I mean, he was just safe. He was safe, you know, to be with himself, you know, without 24-hour care. If that makes sense to you. But these kids, they hit themselves so hard. They just kind of have this internal, you know, they just don't know what to do with themselves because they're in so much pain and their chemicals are so imbalanced. And that was a child that had tried many, many pharmaceuticals. And that family was pretty much at the end of their road as far as conventional medicine goes. But that kid's doing much better now. But is also, running out of tincture. And so that family really does not know what's going to happen, once they run out of the correct product.
But the stories that you're getting from the parents is that it is literally a night and day difference between what they were dealing with before and then once they were able to get access to the tincture. Hence the reason why this is so important, because these families are going to be hugely adversely impacted by lack of access to tincture. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people need to understand that we actually know of a young man that is up at Grafton. And it costs almost $1,000 a day. It costs the state $1,000 a day to have that individual. I'm sure it's different per case, but that individual needs $1,000 worth of care a day.
Okay. Going forward, I mean, we do realize that we're early in the program here, but as we understood it, that the growers have been able to be online growing now for almost an entire year. But the supplies that are showing up in the dispensaries are extremely thin. I heard that the Bismarck dispensary is down to just 5 strains, and all the smaller packages of that are all that are left. And that everything that they got for the last shipment that came in sold out before the end of the day that the shipment came in. So there's other supply chain issues that the legislative members need to get transparency on of what's going on in the supply chain. Is there crop failures that are happening? Are there products that were produced that didn't pass the tests? Or what really is the problem here now that, like I said, they're coming up on almost an entire year of being able to grow? The application period for cards only opened up a little over a year ago this time last year, October 28th to be exact, if I remember properly. So we've had an entire year or more for people to prepare for this. So I'm just kind of dumbfounded as to why these situations are being encountered. And those are questions that we're not going to be able to get answered. We're going to need legislative members to find the answers to this, because there is no transparency coming out of the grow. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. Cut out the end of that. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Okay. Yeah.
So, welcome to North Dakota, folks. If you're not familiar with some of the issues that this state has dealt with in the past, that profoundly autistic children and other children with different disabilities historically at a time here in this state were sent to a facility known as Grafton. Now, the Ark of North Dakota sued Grafton and won and made some major changes up there. There was a time where children were chained to walls and were strapped down to beds. And they were able to prove through that lawsuit years ago that this was done intentionally just so that the staff and the members of that facility didn't have to actually deal with the children during the day. Now, when they would come in and give tours and other people would be there, they would make this place look incredible. And they would let the safe children out to be seen playing during this period of time. Now, what you see is not the truth. Point of that, why I bring that up right now, is that we're going to hear about another child. And this family was getting to the point to where they were very, very, very seriously considering institutionalizing the child and making the child the ward of a state. Again, this is an autistic child. And I want you to hear this story so that you really begin to appreciate the impact here of what access to the proper strength cannabis oil does for these autistic children. It's very important.
Or is that getting into too much detail?
Let's not go down that road.
Okay.
So what I want to touch on real quick here is, can you let's put a break in there? You want to run up and see what's going on up there?
Oh, it's just a plate.
Okay. All right. So again, can you tell us what Ronnie's like when he's not able to have the tincture compared to what he's like when he gets the tincture? And, you know, just give us a couple of real short examples, because I know you've been dealing with this for a long time. And would also like to hear what types of benefits that you've been able to experience so far now that you have access to the product. So if you give me a couple of short examples about what it's like when he doesn't have it, what it's like when he does have it.
Okay. After we got going on cannabis for Ronnie, he's 9 years old. He's severely autistic. He really cannot speak. And he can be very, very aggressive. And it was like night and day. Once we got the proper dosage of THC on him, he was much calmer, much easier to deal with at school. He does 3 different kinds of therapy. Every one of the therapists, you know, noticed that he was much more manageable and got more out of his day. And the big thing is he did not attack me. You know, Ronnie really, within the last year, has started attacking me. If he's ever in a car and has the ability to open the door, he will, like when he's real angry, like when he's having dental pain and stuff, he will try to jump out of a moving car if given access. And he does not do that when he has the proper amounts of cannabis in him.
So it's a night and day difference.
Absolutely. And we are, two times we have been in a situation where his tolerance was getting too high and we did end up doing a 48-hour reboot. And in those situations, when he has to be off of that cannabis for 48 hours... we have to have my husband take all the kids out of the house and I just have to deal with him for 48 hours because he is so aggressive when he's off of it.
Okay. And now you were telling me about another family that they've got a kid who has autism and that they've also been dealing with it for a long time. They were at the point of possibly doing a voluntary commitment of the child to Grafton. Now they were able to get into the program and get some of the 38.5 milligram tincture, and that they actually noticed some changes there that had them reconsidering making their child a ward of the state, cost of the state. And can you tell me just a little bit about that real quick without, you know, obviously we're not going to disclose who they are, but tell me at least a little bit about what they were dealing with before and shortly also what it looks like now that they were able to get product. And let that kind of sink in on everyone, because after they run out of their tincture, they're going right back to where they came from. So give me some details there, if you could, shortly.
That child in particular was so self-injurious that the family really feared. They were kind of in the beginning stages of you know, putting him somewhere else, not being able to keep him at home. But upon, you know, almost immediately, within that first week of getting a hold of that 38.5 tincture, he became, I mean, he was just safe. He was safe, you know, to be with himself, you know, without 24-hour care. If that makes sense to you. But these kids, they hit themselves so hard. They just kind of have this internal, you know, they just don't know what to do with themselves because they're in so much pain and their chemicals are so imbalanced. And that was a child that had tried many, many pharmaceuticals. And that family was pretty much at the end of their road as far as conventional medicine goes. But that kid's doing much better now. But is also, running out of tincture. And so that family really does not know what's going to happen, once they run out of the correct product.
But the stories that you're getting from the parents is that it is literally a night and day difference between what they were dealing with before. And then once they were able to get access to the tincture, hence the reason why this is so important, because these families are going to be hugely adversely impacted by lack of access to tincture. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people need to understand that we actually know of a young man that is up at Grafton. And it costs almost $1,000 a day. It costs the state $1,000 a day to have that individual. I'm sure it's different per case, but that individual needs $1,000 worth of care a day.
Okay. Going forward, I mean, we do realize that we're early in the program here, but as we understood it, that the growers have been able to be online growing now for almost an entire year. But the supplies that are showing up in the dispensaries are extremely thin. I heard that the Bismarck dispensary is down to just 5 strains, and all the smaller packages of that are all that are left. And that everything that they got for the last shipment that came in sold out before the end of the day that the shipment came in. So there's other supply chain issues that the legislative members need to get transparency on of what's going on in the supply chain. Is there crop failures that are happening? Are there products that were produced that didn't pass the tests? Or what really is the problem here now that, like I said, they're coming up on almost an entire year of being able to grow? The application period for cards only opened up a little over a year ago, this time last year, October 28th, to be exact, if I remember properly. So we've had an entire year or more for people to prepare for this. So I'm just kind of dumbfounded as to why these situations are being encountered. And those are questions that we're not going to be able to get answered. We're going to need legislative members to find the answers to this, because there is no transparency coming out of the grow. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. Cut out the end of that. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Okay. Yeah.
So you might be wondering, what is the impact of sending an individual up to Grafton or to other institutionalized locations that these children end up in if they're not able to get proper care in home? So we're going to touch on that real quick in the next clip, and then we're going to move on. But I just wanted you to hear this so that you truly understand that either from a parent's perspective or from a taxpayer's perspective, that you have a general understanding of the costs of institutionalizing children, that if they are able to find palliative relief, if they're able to find a relaxation for their autism, that we're able to save lives here. We're able to save a lot of money here. So we're going to touch on that real quick. So bear with me.
Or is that getting into too much detail?
Let's not go down that road.
Okay.
So what I want to touch on real quick here is, can you... Let's put a break in there. You want to run up and see what's going on up there?
Oh, it's just a plate.
Okay. All right. So again, can you tell us what Ronnie's like when he's not able to have the tincture compared to what he's like when he gets the tincture? And, you know, just give us a couple of real short examples, because I know you've been dealing with this for a long time and would also like to hear what types of benefits that you've been able to experience so far now that you have access to the product. So if you give me a couple of short examples about what it's like when he doesn't have it, what it's like when he does have it.
Okay. After we got going on cannabis for Ronnie, he's 9 years old. He's severely autistic. He really cannot speak. And he can be very, very aggressive. And it was like night and day. Once we got the proper dosage of THC on him, he was much calmer, much easier to deal with at school. He does 3 different kinds of therapy. Every one of the therapists, you know, noticed that he was much more manageable, got more out of his day. And the big thing is he did not attack me. You know, Ronnie really, within the last year, has started attacking me. If he's ever in a car and has the ability to open the door, he will, like when he's real angry, like when he's having dental pain and stuff, he will try to jump out of a moving car if given access. And he does not do that when he has the proper amounts of cannabis in him.
So it's a night and day difference.
Absolutely. And we are, two times we have been in a situation where his tolerance was getting too high and we did end up doing a 48-hour reboot. And in those situations, when he has to be off of that cannabis for 48 hours, we have to have my husband take all the kids out of the house and I just have to deal with him for 48 hours because he is so aggressive when he's off of it.
Okay. And now you were telling me about another family that they've got a kid who has autism and that they've also been dealing with it for a long time. They were at the point of possibly doing a voluntary commitment of the child to Grafton. Now they were able to get into the program and get some of the 38.5 milligram tincture, and that they actually noticed some changes there that had them reconsidering making their child a ward of the state, cost of the state. And can you tell me just a little bit about that real quick without, you know, obviously we're not going to disclose who they are, but tell me at least a little bit about what they were dealing with before and shortly also what it looks like now that they were able to get product. And let that kind of sink in on everyone, because after they run out of their tincture, they're going right back to where they came from. So give me some details there if you could shortly.
That child in particular was so self-injurious that the family really feared. They were kind of in the beginning stages of you know, putting him somewhere else, not being able to keep him at home. But upon, you know, almost immediately within that first week of getting a hold of that 38.5 tincture, he was just safe. He was safe, you know, to be with himself, you know, without 24-hour care. If that makes sense to you. But these kids, they hit themselves so hard. They just kind of have this internal, you know, they just don't know what to do with themselves because they're in so much pain and their chemicals are so imbalanced. And that was a child that had tried many, many pharmaceuticals. And that family was pretty much at the end of their road as far as conventional medicine goes. But that kid's doing much better now, but is also running out of tincture. And so that family really does not know what's going to happen once they run out of the correct product.
But the stories that you're getting from the parents is that it is literally a night and day difference between what they were dealing with before and then once they were able to get access to the tincture. Hence the reason why this is so important, because these families are going to be hugely adversely impacted by lack of access to tincture. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people need to understand that we actually know of a young man that is up at Grafton, and it costs almost $1,000 a day. It costs the state $1,000 a day to have that individual. I'm sure it's different per case, but that individual needs $1,000 worth of care a day.
Okay. Going forward, I mean, we do realize that we're early in the program here, but as we understood it, that the growers have been able to be online growing now for almost an entire year. But the supplies that are showing up in the dispensaries are extremely thin. I heard that the Bismarck dispensary is down to just 5 strains, and all the smaller packages of that are all that are left. And that everything that they got for the last shipment that came in sold out before the end of the day that the shipment came in. So there's other supply chain issues that the legislative members need to get transparency on of what's going on in the supply chain. Is there crop failures that are happening? Are there products that were produced that didn't pass the tests? Or what really is the problem here now that, like I said, they're coming up on almost an entire year of being able to grow? The application period for cards only opened up a little over a year ago this time last year, October 28th to be exact, if I remember properly. So we've had an entire year or more for people to prepare for this. So I'm just kind of dumbfounded as to why these situations are being encountered. And those are questions that we're not going to be able to get answered. We're going to need legislative members to find the answers to this, because there is no transparency coming out of the grow. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. Cut out the end of that. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Okay. Yeah.
So this is just one subject so far. The access to pediatric oil is just one of the many subjects that we're finding issues and problems with in the program. Now, there's a certain pushback that we're getting from different entities around the state. And let me just be clear about that. That falls within the purview of elected officials and state employees. So know where the pushback is coming from. So far, what we've been able to experience, encounter, and discover is that it's not something that we're getting pushback from the dispensaries on. And as far as we understand so far, that it's not coming out of the growers. From the tidbits of information that we've been able to gather from them, is that they're wholly sympathetic to this situation, but that there's other issues at play here that's preventing them from being able to create the products that these pediatric patients need. And to finish this episode out, I want to bring to light how we got here. One of the issues that happened was that when the dispensaries opened, these pediatric oils, especially the 3.85 milligram pediatric oil, was made available to all patients. So if you were 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, they still allowed you to buy the pediatric product. And because of a lack of product at that time, that entire inventory got bought up. And from the understandings, and not everyone's willing to jump on the recorder and talk to me about this, but from what I was hearing from different staff around the state at the dispensaries was that they sold it out because they were trying to take care of the other patients. There wasn't access to the full spectrum oil, otherwise known as FSO at that time. Some of the other products hadn't come directly online yet. Now, I'm mixed on that, where if you know that this product was developed and labeled and created for pediatric patients, you would think that your common sense would say, save that for the kids. But because there wasn't that common sense being common, that the children of the state are being adversely affected. I get that the dispensaries need to make their money. And I get that the grows are trying to do as much as they can being early into this system, now that we're over a year into this program. But in the future, especially if you've listened to this so far before the other episodes come out, it's very important that when you go into the dispensary, that you're not buying up the pediatric product if you're not a pediatric patient. Every time somebody does that, there's children that aren't going to be able to get access to it. Let me say that again. If adults buy up all the pediatric cannabis oil, regardless of the strength, you are causing a disadvantaged situation to occur for a family with a child that's in the medical marijuana program. This isn't just autism, folks. We're talking about children with cancer. We're talking about children with other conditions that are on the state list. And what I'll do is I'll read through the entire list so that you have complete understanding of who gets access to this. And when you consider the fact that these pediatric patients have very limited scope and access to this program, it isn't like the adults, where the adults can go in and they can buy anything in the store. They can buy the pediatric products. They can buy the flower. Heck, if you're an adult and you are diagnosed with cancer, you can actually buy up to 6 ounces worth of product. That's a lot of flower. And if you have access to that, and then you dip into the children's supply, it's not really something that I see as wholly ethical or moral. So you might disagree with me on that, and that's fine. I'm used to people disagreeing with me. But I want that seed to be planted in everybody's head, that until this program starts to really find its maturity and it's able to keep up with the patients that are in the program for their needs, especially for the pediatric patients, we as adults need to use common sense and be hands-off with the pediatric oil. So with that, I'm going to close this episode. Thank you very much for listening. And episode 3 of this investigative series, we're going to be going in a couple of more directions. I want everyone to have a true understanding of the problems that they're finding in this program. Thank you, everybody. Hey, parting shot that I want to throw out here. This is really important, actually. Really important. Your support enables us to bring you important information without the typical media distraction and hype. Contributions make it so that you can be heard. We thank you for helping us make this happen, but what we really need you to do is go find the link that allows you to be a listener supporter of this program. You can start as low as 99 cents a month, or you can be at the mid-tier at $4.99 a month, or you can go all out and spend less than 2 Starbucks coffees a month on this podcast at $9.99 a month. That's going to go towards our ability to level up this podcast. It also allows us to get access to other patients, legislative members, state employees, dispensary staff, and lobbyists and more across the state that are involved with this issue. I want you to be able to hear all sides here so that you can draw your own conclusions. Now, obviously I'm biased, but we're going to get to the bottom of certain issues here. It's very important for us. So with that being said, please contribute. And if you want to do a donation outside of the 99 cent, $4.99 and $9.99 a month donation, reach out to me via social media. We'll put something together to where you're able to help out. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I hope you stay tuned for the next few investigative episodes that are coming up, because they're really important to all the patients here in the state, especially for the kids. Take a moment. Help us out.